If you're anything like me, your inbox is a mess. I used to spend hours sorting through emails trying to find that one thread or task buried under a mountain of newsletters and noise. I can't stand it. That's why I started using Notion Mail. And honestly, it's been one of the most game-changing things that we have done. Notion Mail is the inbox that thinks like you, automated, personalized, and flexible to finally work the way you work. With AI that learns what matters to you, it can organize your inbox, label messages, draft replies, and even schedule meetings. No manual sorting required. It actually connects with the rest of my workspace, so my messages, tasks, and notes are all in sync. I've never felt more on top of communication. Get Notion Mail for free right now at notion.com/founders and try the inbox that thinks like you. That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/founders to get Notion Mail for free right now. When you use our link, you're supporting our show. Notion.com/founders. Starting your business should be simple. That's why I love what Northwest Registered Agent is doing. You can build your entire business identity in just 10 clicks and 10 minutes. Seriously, whether you're launching your first company or your fifth, you get more when you start with Northwest. More privacy, more guidance, and more freedom to run your business from anywhere. They've helped businesses grow for nearly 30 years, and they've got your back. For just $39 plus state fees, Northwest will form your business, create a custom website, and set up a local presence anywhere you need it. Want more? They'll protect your identity by using their address on your formation documents, and their premium mail forwarding gives you a real business address that keeps your home info private, which I have used this service for many years. Don't wait. Protect your privacy, build your brand, and set up your business in just 10 clicks in 10 minutes. Visit northwestregisteredagent.com/founders and start building something amazing. Get more with Northwest Registered Agent at northwestregisteredagent.com/founders. Hey everyone, welcome back to Founder Story. Today we have Kit Gray, the president, co-founder of Podcast One, which I've been following for many years. But Podcast One is a leading podcast network, even NASDAQ under PODC, which is amazing. I cannot wait, Kit, to talk all the things through. How is it to take a company public? But I know that Podcast One has worked with the likes of A&E, Adam Carolla, Lady Gang, Justin Harbinger, and 200 shows, which is incredible. So, Kit, what was the spark for you that made you say, I want to be an entrepreneur, and why this industry?
Yeah. Hey, nice to meet you. And thanks for having me today. I became a fan of really the audio medium back when I was a kid living in Boston and going to sporting events with my dad, dragging me around to tennis matches or soccer matches or baseball games that I was playing in. That, and, we'd listen to sports talk radio to kind of like break up the awkward silence. And during commercial breaks, we would actually talk about it and have something fun to talk about. And, so audio has always had a special place in my heart. And, that kind of grew as Howard Stern came into my life and listening to him and then watching him on his TV show and then realizing how he built brands into both his show and his radio network. He really was a thought leader in that space. You know, we talk about 360 video podcasts now. Well, Howard did it years and years and years ago, and he really did an amazing job. And when you look at endorsement radio or endorsement anything, I knew that was like a extremely powerful thing early in my career. I wound up going to school not for anything in the radio or audio space, but I was an analyst. Went to business school, got my MBA in finance, and worked in a national security firm in Orlando. Funny enough, with missiles and defense contracts and everything that I'm not about. And but I did learn a lot from that experience, and went to Chicago, worked in a bar with some friends after grad school, and then decided to take a job in New York City working for Katz Media Group, which was part of iHeart, Clear Channel. And what we did was we represented radio stations across the country and then started to pitch why certain radio stations should be on a media spend out of advertising agencies in New York. And from there, I really learned the business, where the funnel of money from clients to ad agencies to planners to buyers, how it all kind of went out. And that was kind of how I learned the business. But I was actually opening an office for them in Los Angeles in 2004, 2005. And I started to listen to podcasts, which back in the day, you had to actually like download a file on your computer, hook up your iPod or whatever device you had for MP3s at the time. And then, you know, you download and drag it over. And then maybe you had like a tape player in your car where the wires out and all that kind of stuff. And you could listen to on-demand content. And the reason I loved that so much was I lived in Los Angeles. I hate the Lakers. I hate Dodgers. I'm a Boston guy at heart. And so basically I had to listen to Boston radio stations on demand that were doing this. And that's what we did. So I would drive and sit on the 405 in traffic going to meetings and listening to my podcast. And I started to think about the medium that I was in and if there was scale that I could start to bring those to advertisers. So what I did on my own was there's a guy named Adam Carolla from The Man Show. He wrote for Jimmy Kimmel. He was on Loveline, which was with Dr. Drew, which was national syndicated radio show at night, but also on MTV, which is funny. Dan Marie was talking about MTV and spring breaks and stuff like that where I live. But yeah, so we just started to talk about Adam did a podcast after he actually took over for Howard Stern on the West Coast for syndication. It didn't last too long, unfortunately. It was a really good show. So he decided doing a podcast, and I was listening to that, and I reached out to him. We started making some ad deals, right, where Pro Flowers and LegalZoom and Stamps.com and Citrix, we would do reads, and we had great return on investment based on these tracking codes, and I started to build a business. So I started my own company there, started representing Mark Maron, Bill Burr, The Nerdist, CBS News, and creating a network of shows to offer advertisers. And, you know, 2012 or something like that. And it was really exciting. The medium changed, you know, tremendously with the iPhone, and being able to download shows and then figuring out what a download is and what's an impression and, you know, targetability and connecting to programmatic desks. And we've created, you know, I sold my company two times now, and, you know, I still run it, Podcast One, because I love it and it's a great sell, and I love my team and I love the shows that we work for and work with. And, you know, it's been amazing. We now do about $51 million in revenue. We're publicly traded, which we'll talk a little bit more about hopefully. And then, you know, we've got about 200 shows, and mostly they are really created so they can work for advertisers, right? But we do IP where we have shows that we've sold to, you know, different networks to become TV programs or movies or books. We do merch. We do live shows. We, you know, really do everything kind of soup to nuts to help podcasters monetize their content. We market them. We do talent booking. We do sales, collections, all that fun stuff to really make sure talented people like the people that you mentioned earlier, the Jordan Harbingers, the Lady Gangs, the Caitlin Bristows, the A&Es, that they can give us more content or create more content that we can tie to advertisers and monetize. So that's our business. You know, we've been on the NASDAQ now under PODC for about 2 years, and that's a whole different animal. You know, I would say not as much fun talking to analysts and finance guys, sorry guys. You know, I really enjoy talking to, you know, the talent and creating relationships with them. And, certainly a very lucky guy in the sense that, I get to deal with some of the funniest, smartest, people in the world. So it's been fun.
So I'm curious about what you say is very important when it comes to timing. Some of the most successful people that we have spoken to have told me that timing was everything for them, whether it was timing of the idea or timing of how long they stuck it out. These all were very important to the success of the company. How do you feel that timing was, since you were so, not only were you so early on, but you've also been doing it for so long?
Timing is a lot to it, right? And hard work and perseverance and believing. I got lucky in the sense that this medium really took off as audio was kind of going this way and still is. This really, put new life into the audio experience. And the people that really got behind it really understand how impactful audio is. And you look at like radio stations and the fact that you'd have, I don't know, 6 AFM towers and 4 AM towers in the market or whatever it is, right? Each one is different, but it's so limited in what programming you could offer, not only, viewers or listeners, but also advertisers, right? And in this case, the internet is, unlimited, right? So you can, do podcasts on, gardening and get an audience and monetize it and make a life if you want. I got lucky too in the sense that COVID happened and that was horrible. Obviously, a lot of sleepless nights, stressful times. But it actually helped the medium quite a bit because people were stuck in their homes, a lot of solitude, had a lot of time to, watch or consume content once that ran out. People started to get into podcasts and, a lot of these type of conversations like we are having right now, where you're across the country from me, this became acceptable forms of content for people to consume. They didn't care. This is normal now, right? And that timing wise kind of helped us and it helped the medium. And, 3 years ago, YouTube got into the podcasting space and, now they're the number one consumption, platform for podcasting and videos exploding. And, so we got lucky there too, right? So, we feel, even no matter what your political views are, and I definitely don't want to get into that, certain people in the last election took advantage of the podcasting space and what it offers. And, I think Elon Musk on Rogan said it perfectly. When you have an hour or 2 hour interview, you can't hide. And when people get to know the person they're listening to, the host, it's tremendous. And I think podcasting, or I know, and I know President Trump would say it greatly helps his opportunity to be the president again. And that's pretty cool stuff for a medium that isn't that old and really living that's timing. So
Yeah, no, I was just going to bring up these two stats. One was YouTube being the number one consumption place for podcasts, but then also a lot of these traditional cable shows, they are creating their own podcasts now because they see, the traditional side of TV, the linear side has been dropping. How did you then navigate the landscape of this being, audio focused from iPod to iPhone to phones to moving into social media now, and then everyone getting into it. Like you said, I think everyone in 2020 launched a podcast. Funny enough, that's when we launched this show right here. It was the early stages of COVID. How are you navigating that? And not just the specifics, but as a founder, as a president, how do you navigate the changing landscape? As we know, business can change every 5 minutes, and if you're not keeping up, your company can be in trouble.
To me, and I've had this debate with a lot of companies, salespeople, clients, agencies, you name it. But to me, the smartest companies out there and the ones that are going to win the advertising world and become, the Squarespaces, the UNTUCKits of the world that started in podcasting and now are in Super Bowl commercials and, publicly traded and worth billions of dollars. These are you know, companies that understood buying communities. And when I say we're a podcasting company, it's yes, we are. And that's our focus of doing live reads and endorsements and all the stuff I've already talked about. But really, when you're a brand and you're buying into a community, that's where I see the most impact. And, you know, there's a lot of brands that work with a lot of big ad agencies and big companies that, you know, I'll leave them out of this. But, you know, when you just start putting money into it and, you know, selling mass impressions, even at a small discounted rate, you're not getting what really is going to move the needle, in my opinion. And, you know, my opinion is if you can look at, you know, 20 podcasts that have solid numbers in audio, video, social media, you put them all together and say to a brand, hey, I can do this, this, and this, and you can actually do what I tell you you're going to do, whether it's put the State Farm pillow in the right spot or the mug in the right spot, and, you know, get the social media out when they need it, with the backdrops. If you can do that, those are the companies that are going to really win and see great success. So that's what we do. That's why we're different. We go into these big brands and bring 10, 15, 20 like-minded podcasts and bring video, audio, social, mass scale. And then we come through and they keep coming back because they're seeing great results. There's always a battle on, you know, how much money is going to go to these big agencies, and they're going to throw it out on radio and TV and overnights to get low CPMs. And I'm like, well, that's not us. You know, we value our inventory. We value our community. We value the endorsements. You know, I have a lot of clients that, you know, say no to certain brands for whatever reason. And, you know, that's okay. Right. Like we will find other ones that will fit better. And we do the work that way. So yeah, it's fun, man. I mean, who knows what the next thing is going to be in this space. But I'm excited about it, and it keeps growing, and, you know, clients are happy. And when you're a sales guy, like me, that's a dream come true.
Okay, Kit, I need you to sell me this pen. Now, I remember, like, that was like the funniest sales question. I went to so many interviews where they said that. It was like, how did this become even a thing? But I am curious. What's the first thing that you sold in your life? What was the first thing that you sold?
Well, I mean, yeah, first thing, like, geez, it goes back to being like 12, 13 years old and like figuring out girls for the first time, right? And selling yourself, right? Like who you are and like that kind of stuff, right? So there's that. But like, you know, for podcasting, it was awesome. And it's a cool story, I think, at least. When I went to Adam Carolla and said, Pro Flowers, Cherries Berries, you know, is on the hook. This was like 2012, and they want to do, you know, a campaign with you. And I told them it's going to be like $1,000 to do a read. And, you know, leading up to Valentine's Day, the media buyer's like, you're crazy. That's more money than K-Rock Morning Drive in LA is. And I'm like, well, what about like doing like a CPA, which is cost per thousand thing? And they're like, all right, we'll pay you $12 for every person that uses Adam's code. I'm like, okay, let me see if I can sell Adam on doing it. Talk to Adam. And I said, hey, this is what I'm thinking we do it. You lean in heavy on this. Let's see what happens. I know that if I can get proof of concept here, they've got more advertisers. I can go to more advertisers that'll do things like this. And we'll start rolling, right? And so I got him to do it. And Adam is a tremendous sales guy himself, right? So he's got this great audience that he could talk to them about supporting the show. And, you know, if you're going to send anyone Valentine's Day flowers, by the way, there's Mother's Day coming up, so don't forget. You know, so, you know, just he, I think he got, I think when we ended the campaign, it was 2 weeks. The buyer called me back after Valentine's Day and said, I've got some great news. I said, all right, well, let's see. What is it? And he goes, we owe you $43,000. And I'm like, holy moly, man, we're on it. So I knew then, you know, that this is a business, right? So he started getting more clients involved. We did, you know, calls where Adam would get on with talent, with brands, and kind of talk about that too. And so, you know, I think everything's sales, man. I mean, if you're a sales guy, you're selling all the time, right? So Yeah, that's what it is.
So I'm wondering, I think most people would say, I want to work with a celebrity, or I want to work with somebody, but I'm too afraid to message them. I'm too afraid to contact somebody who I would think is more important, more special than I am, more known. That is very gutsy of you back then to do that. And I like how you added value to him versus trying to extract value from him. You added value to him. So if somebody is like, hey, Kit, I'm going to message, you know, so-and-so because this could change my life, like what happened with you. How do you think, or what would you say to them as to how do I go about messaging this person? Because this is huge. I know so many people that would never have done that, but you took the chance.
Yeah. You know, we go back to timing, right? Adam had just lost his job at CBS, you know, being syndicated. He was starting the podcast. You know, he had like a fan like email list. So I'm like, I'll just send it in, you know, and he got back within a day and I went in and met with him and his team over in Glendale. And, you know, we started doing it and you know, and nobody knew what a download was or any of that kind of stuff. We figured it out and it worked. And, you know, what I would say, look, you know, there's a million ways to reach out to talent now through Instagram and, you know, all these things that I'm, you know, too old for now, but I would say never have any regrets in life, right? Like if you want to do something, go make it happen, you know? And, my wife, of 12 years now, we weren't married at the time when I started the company, but she supported me along the way and, you know, gave me great belief in what I was doing. And, you know, that was really cool of her and having a supportive group around, like, so when this happened and it was stressful, right? Like after I started building the business, people would start, you know, reaching out to Adam and I'll do it too. And, you know, you're sort of being a battling turf and it got a little, you know, crazy. The good news is I met some investors that I could start to take on some money and hire some people and get contracts going and, you know, protect my business that I had founded. So back to your original thing, though, if you have an idea and you believe in it, go for it, man. You only live once, right? Like this is it. And, you know, I'm one of the few lucky people living my dream. I love it. I've had a bunch of dreams, but this is one of them. And I still wake up every day and love it. I'm so lucky.
You always look really relaxed. You look like you're having a good time. You don't look stressed. So how is it, though, being the president of a publicly traded company, and how was the process of taking the company public?
So that's not the first time I've heard this about not being stressed, which is so crazy because if you knew me in my head, like there's a lot going on up here and there's a lot of anxiety and sleepless nights. And, you know, I've got 40 employees and they have families. So, you know, there's a lot there, but I try to live it differently. I, you know, I'm wearing flip flops and wearing shorts right now. So I don't think I'm your typical, you know, CEO of a publicly traded company. I go into New York and I was at a conference up in up there and I was speaking at it. And one of the guys came up after doing me because that was the most fun presentation. I'm like, yeah, because I don't do like slides or any of that kind of stuff. I just kind of talk. And it's
when you realize you need to hire, it's usually already too late. I've been there wasting weeks waiting for decent candidates. If I had used Indeed, I could have hired way faster. So when it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. One thing I love about Indeed, it makes hiring fast because it puts you right in front of the right people without wasting time. Plus, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts. You only pay for results. And while I've been talking, 23 hires were made on Indeed worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. and listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/founders story. Just go to Indeed.com/founders story right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/founders story. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need.
You ever get stuck at checkout and suddenly feel like you're back in 2003? I was in this coffee shop the other day. Their system froze when I went to pay. Staff panicked. I ended up walking out empty-handed. I was so annoyed. That's why I love businesses that use Square. There's a dessert shop that I go to right in Irvine. And with Square, the checkout is always instant. Tap, swipe, done. Even if the Wi-Fi goes down, Square keeps running. Sleek, easy to use, and built to grow with your business. Whether you're selling online, at a pop-up, or managing multiple locations, which I have done in the past, you need something like Square. And the best thing is it makes it simple. From payments to inventory reporting to customer loyalty, which is everything, Square keeps up so you don't have to slow down. Get everything you need to run and grow your business without any long-term commitments. And why wait? Right now, you can get up to $200 off Square hardware at square.com/go/founder. That's square.com/go/founder. Run your business smarter with Square. Get started today.
One of the best things I've ever done for my personal growth was picking up a new language. Whether you're traveling, leveling up your career, or just love learning, speaking another language opens up many doors, and Rosetta Stone makes it easier, more immersive, and more fun. It's the leading language learning program available right on your desktop or mobile. Rosetta Stone helps you learn naturally, just like you picked up your first language, through real-world context and conversation, just practical skills you can use right away. What I love most is the true accent speech recognition. It gives you real-time feedback so your pronunciation actually sounds like a native speaker. With 30 years experience, millions of learners in 25 languages to choose from, like Spanish, also Tagalog, which I'm learning. Rosetta Stone is the go-to for anyone serious about learning fast and retaining it long-term. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Founder Story listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/today to get started and claim your 50% off today. Don't miss out. Go to rosettastone.com/today and start learning today.
It's a fun place. And he goes, yeah, I feel like you're like wearing flip-flops. And I'm like, if I could wear flip-flops here, I would. You know, like that's just kind of my personality. Lived in California and, you know, just have that. Running a public traded company is interesting. You know, the company that bought us LiveOne, which is LVO on the NASDAQ, spun us out their offering into a new offering. And, you know, that was interesting. We worked with Gunner, and then we also worked with the Roth Bank and understanding, you know, the process of going public, how that works, what is entailed in it. You know, the reason why we did it is, to make it an all-inclusive space, right, for talent, producers, to really win in it, right? Like, so even when these big deals come down on Spotify or Amazon, you know, the talent's not getting a piece of it. It's a contract, and it is what it is. You know, for us, when we go out to sign talent or work with new talent, we like to offer them stock. So they feel the upside, potential upside of the company, right? So we all are kind of swimming in the same direction together, and it's unique. So we use stock a lot of times to help us in some of these deals, and, you know, hopefully keep people like Adam and Brendan Schaub and all these guys I've worked with for years and years to stay with us because they're, you know, invested in the company. So that's pretty cool, you know, and we're continuing to grow. We have a lot of M&A conversations going on right now with a lot of different podcasting companies and non-podcasting companies where we feel we're profitable, which is great. And we feel like we have all the systems in place where we don't need any more back end stuff or really more salespeople, maybe some more producers. But if we take on more scale, that, you know, that'll help. And if a company comes into us and we can take some of their things like finance and HR and payroll and all that stuff off their plates and help them monetize and market their shows, that, you know, 1 + 1 will equal 3 or 4, right? And everybody will roll. So it's been interesting. I mentioned it earlier, you know, I got a chance to talk to people like Whitney Cummings, who I'm going to talk to later today, and just brilliant, you know, funny, amazing people that are so talented and had so much success in their career. And they're so fun to talk to. And then, you know, then I get a call with an analyst, right? Which is, you know, fun, but different, you know? So it's and no offense to those analysts. I love them too. So, you know.
I'm an analyst and I think I'm fun to, no, I'm not really an analyst, but an unofficial analyst. So, no, this has been great, kid. I'm really fascinated and I'm excited by the fact that talent can now take over and really win versus before they had to work through management and they had to work through, there's so many layers. Like you said, in the end, they don't even really make much of the money. It was very little, if any at all. There's too many people involved, but now they can create their own show. They can have their own asset. They can build a company. I was just reading about how Diary of a CEO was offered $100 million to do a deal with whatever company it was, like a Spotify or whatever. And he turned it down and said they can create a company around what they're doing and make more money than $100 million, and how they wouldn't even receive a lot of the $100 million in the end. And I was like, wow, this is very interesting that it seems like the talent now has almost more of the upside or has more of the control than before, where it really was like these record labels or these, you know, Hollywood studios, like they really had the control and the talent had to bend to them. But this has been amazing, Kit. If people want to get in touch with you, they want to find out more information, how can they do so?
Yeah, happy to take any emails at kit@podcastone.com. That's ONE.com. I try to respond to almost everybody, but we're on, you know, every social media platform, and you can go to podcastone.com. Check out our shows, listen to the super talented people that have some amazing stories to tell, and you'll find something you like, and you know, really enjoy it. But I've enjoyed my conversation with you guys and really appreciate your time today.
Same. I know we might have met each other in Orlando many years ago, who knows, but
Orlando's
in the near future. But yeah, thanks for joining us today on Founder Story.
Thank you, appreciate it. Take care, guys.
If you're looking for legit ways to make extra money, you've got to check out The Side Hustle Show. With hundreds of actionable episodes to choose from, you'll learn what's working now from real people making real money. Like the Utah mom who built a six-figure business playing video games, or the guy earning $3,000 a month renting out mobility scooters. Online or offline, from Amazon to your own hometown, from YouTube to vending machines, The Side Hustle Show has you and your wallet covered. Subscribe to The Side Hustle Show wherever you're listening to this podcast and increase your earning power today.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.